talking about the story of Hagar. Okay? It's basically Perek Tzion. So I mentioned that the one of the methods that the Torah uses to conceal ideas, in other words, to present Sipur HaMaisa, which a person, an ordinary person, would be able to read it in some way, think it makes sense, but then if you look at it, if you look at it more carefully, you see that there's something more here. And that was the, it's sort of like a displacement. It's one of the methods that the Torah uses, like displacement. It sort of veers away from the track. So, when you read it, you know, it makes some kind of sense, but then when you look closely, you see that somehow or other doesn't really seem to make sense like you think at first. And that's a, that's because there's a deeper meaning in the, in the pasuk. And we mentioned last week the pasuk in Bereishis Tzion Hey. It says, "Atom Asari Al Avram Chamosi Olecha, Anochi Nosati Shevchosi Bechekecha, Vatera Ki Arosa Vegel Beinel, Yishpo Dar Hashem Beinivenecha." So on the surface, we mentioned that doesn't make any sense, because why is she angry at Avram? She should have been angry. Sarah should have been angry at who? At Hagar. Because Hagar was the one that became arrogant. So we explained that Sarah didn't bother with Hagar. Sarah's complaint was against Avram, because Avram was really the Morah Derech. He was the Gadol HaDor, and it was his obligation to see that the true philosophy of Yadus should be expressed in his household. He was the one that was responsible, if it was, as a matter of fact, I mean, you see here clearly, it wasn't a personal anger that Sarah had. It wasn't a personal anger. Of course, were it a personal anger, she would direct it at the object of her hatred, which would be Hagar. Exactly. So why does she direct it out of Ram? So the answer is because what she was concerned with was a false philosophy being promulgated in the house of Avram. And that was that Hagar saw that she had that she became pregnant with a child. She was blessed with a child. So her assumption was, she assumed right away, that it's because of her tzidkus, she's a greater tzaddikus than Sarah Imeinu. And that was that's why Sarah became light. Sarah lost in her eyes some of the glow, so to speak, of tzidkus, because so she was unsuccessful, and Hagar was successful. So that's why Sarah said to Avram that we don't judge people by events in their lives. That's not the Shittas Yadus. So on the contrary, how do you judge people? You judge people by acts of righteousness. So she said, "Anochi nasati shivchasi b'chekecha." I did the greatest act of righteousness, which is the most difficult thing for a woman to do, to give away a husband. And vatera ki arasa v'ego b'ne'ah. So then she made light of me because of an event. This is not the philosophy of Avraham Avinu. This is a pagan philosophy. So yishpo dar Hashem b'niv v'necha, because that was your job, was to correct that, not to allow such an idea to be expressed in your household, because you're the Gadol HaDor, you're in charge, and here's where you are deficient. So, yeah. That's why I said, Yishpot HaRashem B'nei Venecha. It was really a judgment. Yishpot HaRashem means Mishpat. It means the ultimate system of justice is being twisted over here. It's being twisted. So this is this idea is a wrong idea, harmful idea, and an incorrect idea. We don't judge anybody based upon the events that occur in a person's life. That's not a way to judge righteousness. And that's why it says Vayomer Avram el Sarai, hinei shivchosech biyadech, asilo atov beinoyach. So Sarah tormented her, and she ran away. So the Ramban says that this was bad. Ramban says choto imenu beinui hazeh, that our mother Sarah sinned when she did this. Okay, I'm not going with the Ramban's pshat, because there's another pshat. There is a mechilta that seems to say, I believe the mechilta says that says differently. That says Tosefta that says differently. That says on the contrary, when God told Avram Kol Asher Tomar Elecha Sarah Shema Bekola, it means she's right both times. That she was right in Inui, and she was right in chasing away Yishmael later. So I'm leaving the Ramban, I'm going with the Pshat in the Tosefta. That on the contrary, that it wasn't really a chait, that Sarah really had good reason to do what she did. And why did she do it? She did it not because of, she wanted to get even with us, so to speak, but on the contrary, she wanted to show, to demonstrate that this philosophy is not correct. Because what was the Inui? The Inui was that she treated her like a slave. So, on the contrary, she was saying that things are in her favor, and therefore it demonstrates that she's a great person. Is it? But no. What Sarah did was she took things in hand, and she reduced her stature in the eyes of everyone, to show that she's not, it's not like she thinks. She thinks that she was Zocha because she was a great tzaddikus, and that's why she's having a child, and how come she's playing a shifra? So you see that events do not indicate superiority. And on the contrary, she gave her an inferior role. Okay, that was the Inuit. The Inu was, she treated her like a, the Inu was really more in terms of how she treated her like a neved than an actual physical Inu. It was an emotional, psychological Inu. To demonstrate that she is not the one. Because if she were, that stopped the whole philosophy right there. Because once she was reduced to a shifcha, now she can't go around saying that she's the great one, and that she's greater than Tsar. That's why she did it, basically. That's the pshat with the sefta. That Sarah Shema Bekola listened to her because she was right at both times. She was right in chasing out Yishmael, which is something we'll discuss. We'll discuss maybe next week that whole parsha. But she was right over here too, because that was the proper thing to do. In other words, to nip that philosophy in the bud and to show that this is not the philosophy of Yadus. It's incorrect. Okay. Now it's an interesting thing. The interesting thing is, she ran away, and the Malach Hashem came to her and said to her, again you see, the Torah uses the same method. It makes it, it's like a crypticism. I mean, it's a cryptic, you see that you don't understand the words. So when you don't understand the words, you know there's something much deeper. Like it says in Tezayin Yud Gimel, after the Malach came to her three times, three Malachim, Rashi says, so it says, Vatikra Shem Hashem HaDover Elecha. Okay? Ator Kel Roy. Alright? You are the one, she said, the Shem Hashem HaDover Elecha, you are the one that sees, Tirgum Unkelah says, he says, that Salias Bishmar Hashem Dismalim of Amas. Ato Athu Eloko Chaze Kola. You are the God that sees all. All right, fine. Ki Omra, because she said, Ato Kel Roi, you see my Inui. Whatever. That's not difficult. But then this is Ki Omra, because she said, Hagam Halom Roi Siachare Roi. This immediately you see. You understand what it means? Because also over here, I see after I saw. What does it mean? Okay? Yeah. Okay, so Rashi says that she Rashi goes to the matter. She always saw Malachim in the house of Avram, and she thought that over here in the desert she's going to see Malachim. I mean, what's the pshat? What does it mean? I mean, if Malachim could appear in the house of Avram, appear in the desert too. What is Rashi trying to tell us? What is the underlying pshat over here? There's an amazing thing in yesterday's parsha, which I think people overlook it, but it's a really serious point in Parshas Vayera. So you have that. After Sarah chased out Yishmael, so the pasuk says Breish Chafal Firal Vayera Adavam Maod Beinei Avram, and the pasuk is Al Odos Bino, and the Rambam says, and Ramban says also, why does it say Al Odos Bino? Because he wanted to show you that even though Hagar was a beautiful woman, that he didn't bother him that he lost Hagar. What bothered him was Odos Bino, his son. He felt bad for his son, and. It bothered him very much. Vayera Adavam Maod, because it was his child, and he felt that this is he was concerned. I mean, for his own offspring, and he was concerned that maybe this is wrong. So Vayomer Lekim Alavram Aliyah Beinechal Anav Alamasecha Kol Asher Tomer Lachasar Shema Bekola Ki VeYitzchak Yikar Lachazara. Okay, and then the pasuk says VeGames Beno Omer LeGoyas Imenu, but this Beno Omer is also going to be a great nation. Why? Ki Zaracho. Because he is your seed. He is your offspring. It's an interesting thing. This seems to be a contradiction to the pasuk before in Lech Lecha, where it says, when the Malach came and said to her, where are you coming from or where are you going? And she said that I'm running away from Sarai Gevirti, from the one... The one who was my greeting is that she's her Adon, her master. Vayom Allah Malach Hashem Shuvil Grita Vasan Tachas Yadel. Okay? Then Vayom Allah Malach Hashem Har Bo Arba Zera Ezara Chalei Yisach Mar. You're going to have many children. Okay? A multitude of children. So it seems to be over here that it was her schus that caused the fact that Yishmael became a great nation. Over here, the pasuk says, "No, v'gamas beno gamol v'goyes meno wanki zarachahu." Seems to be because of Avram. Seems to be on the surface a contradiction there. I will get back to that contradiction. But there's a bigger problem. The problem is Rashi mentions that. Yes, correct. Because of her. So what's the problem? Well, it's three shmal, no? I mean, seems so. Okay. But anyways, it says, so the pasuk says in Bereishis Chafalef, it says, Vayishmal kim eskola nar, and it says, Vayomalo malachaga, in Chafalef Yizayin, Kishomalo kim el kola nar basheru shom. So Rashi says, that lefim maisim shu osa achshav hu nodon. In other words, now God judges according to the way the person is at the time. Famous chazal. Because the Malachi Ashari said to God, they said, Rebbeinu shel olam, misha osid zaro lehomus bonecho batzoma, ata malalo be'er. This offspring, these Yishmaelites, I mean, they are going to torture your children, okay? You're giving this person water, but eventually in the future they will torture and kill Klal Yisrael. V'hum eshivam, achshav mahu. Okay, so God answers, but now what is he? Tzadik or Rasha? Amrullah, they said tzadik. He's a tzadik now. That itself needs explanation. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss that next time. What is it? Was he a tzaddik or was he a rasha? I mean, it seems from the pasuk he wasn't such a tzaddik. But anyways, but Chazal say no. At that moment he was a tzaddik. Amalahem lefi maisov shel achshav ani dano. I judge him. God says according to how he is now. Zeh ba'asher hushom. Then he says Rashi's v'heichon hemes es Yisrael batzamo. Where did he kill? Where did the Ishmaelites kill the Jews through thirst? Because that was the irony. They killed the Jews through thirst, and here God is giving him water. Kisheheglam Nebuchadnezzar, because when Nebuchadnezzar took the Jews and he exiled them in Gullus, so it says. So kishehamalichem osam etzal arvoyim. So when they were taking them by the Arabs, Hayisrael omer l'shavoyim. So the Jews said, take us to our cousins, the Yishmaelites, and they'll have Rachmanis on us. Shenemar. Okay, so Rashi. So Donim al Dodim. The Elu Yotzim Lekrasam, Mavim Lahem Bosar Vadog Maluach, the Nodos Nefuchim. Kisvurim Yisrael Shemaleim Mayim Ukishemachnisa Latelch Piva Poseach Haruach Nichnas Bedufa Meis. So they gave them salty foods, and they thought that they were going to get water, so they ate the salty foods, and then they gave them empty jugs, and they died from the thirst. So they tricked them, basically. Interesting Chazal. I mean, the Chazal show that a person has to be very careful, how he judges others, because the Jews judged them because they felt a certain closeness to them, and because they had a sense of family and an extended sense of family, so they felt that the Yishmaelim will feel close to them just like they feel close to the Yishmaelim. But in truth, they were really Rishayim, and they had no Rachmanis whatsoever. So it shows you a person has to be very careful. I mean, this was, you know, I mean, Chazal sometimes say, like a molei dorish acha lahai kra. I mean, if they would have looked into the pasuk more, they would have seen their mistake. They wouldn't have made such an error. I mean, that was basically a similar error that the Jews made with regard to the Nazis in Achshemar. That they never thought that they could be that evil. Couldn't imagine how evil they could be. It shows you that you cannot judge another person by projecting onto the other person your own feelings. Even if they are good feelings, you can't do it. It has to be based upon a rational evaluation of the individual. Over here, they felt close to Yishmael because they felt that their cousins, Ben Dod. So they thought that the feeling that it would be reciprocal. But no, on the contrary, you see, they were the worst of Shoyim, and they tortured them and they killed them. So what Yadus is teaching is that you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful whom you trust with your when it comes to feelings of kindness and rahmanis. You can't project your own feelings onto another individual or groups of people based upon the way you feel. That leads to destruction. So, and that was the case with the Ishmaelim. But let's get back to the major problem. The major problem is, if you look into the pasuk, you see this is more of a problem than meets the eye. It's not just a question of how does God save this individual through water when that's precisely the way they tortured and killed Avram's offspring. Yeah, but when you look at what Chazal is trying to point out is a more, even a more basic problem over here. The basic problem is that here God is saying to Avram that he is going to have Yitzchak, be Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara, and simultaneously he gives him another child who will destroy Yitzchak. It just doesn't make any sense. V'gamas beno omo l'goyasimenu ki zarachohu. That's why God wants Yishmael to become a great nation. That nation will go and will destroy Ki be Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara. Doesn't make any sense. It's a contradiction. That's really the basic problem in the pasuk. What kind of a system is this? What does Avram need this other child for? The whole thing is Ki Yitzchak Yikra Chazara. So does it make sense that God should set up another nation which will destroy the very offspring of Yitzchak? It's a Tata de Sasri. It means Avram Avinu had two children. One was to give him the biggest blessing, the Birkas Avram, Ki Yitzchak Yikra Chazara, and then he gives him another one that's going to destroy this one. It doesn't make any sense. See, basically, that's what the Malachi, that was the kasha of the Malachi Asharis. That was what the Malachi Asharis asked. Their question was, what kind of seichel is this? What kind of sense does this make? I mean, to say that you're going to guarantee the Avram offspring, and then in the same breath to give a bracha to, what does he need? What does Avram need this other bracha for? He'd be better off without this other bracha. What does he need this Yishmael for? What kind of a bracha is that? Yishmael is going to destroy Ki Yitzchak Yikra Chazara. Doesn't make any sense. That was the Malachim's question. It's interesting, but if you take a look, you see that the bracha to Yishmael that was given to Yishmael isn't just over here, but it's mentioned before. It's mentioned in Bereishis Yizayin. Okay, where Avram said. And the irony of the statement is, it says, "V'gamis ben omar l'goyah simena." Why? Ki zaracho, because he's your offspring. So that's what you want. You want your offspring to destroy the real offspring, the offspring that comes from Yitzchak. Okay. I mean, and you see again over in Bereishis Yitzayin where Avram said to God, he said, "Lu Yishmol Yichya." He says. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that when God told him that he will have another child, is that's in Yud Zayin Tesvov Tesayin Verachti Yosef VeGam Nasati Mimena Locho Bein. So God revealed to Avram that Sarah was going to have a bein, a son. So he says VeYipol Avram Yilapon VeYitzchak. Okay, then he says. Okay, fine. He was astounded that God would change the laws of nature. But then it says, Vayom Avram El Olokim, Li Yishmol Yichil Afanecha. He thought the bracha would come for Yishmol. Let Yishmol be the one that's, let him at least live. Vayom Olokim, Avol Sora Ishtacha Yolet Eshacha Bein, Vakoras Hashma Yitzchak. Vakimosi Es Brisi Yito Levris Olam Azar Achra. Uli Yishmol Shmaticha. I'm listening to what you said about Yishmael. Hinei berachti yosel, v'freisi yosel, v'beisi yosel, b'mod ma'od. Shnei mosa nesim yolid unesativ l'gay gadol. So the Torah goes out of its way. Not just a small statement. The Torah mentions it a few places. That the Birkas Yishmael. What is this Birkas Yishmael? What do you need this for? This turned out to be the worst thing. It was a plague, really. It wasn't a bracha. The Torah goes out of its way to say that Yishmael was going to receive a big bracha and he's going to become a tremendous nation. Who is this nation? We know what we suffer from this nation today. Yes. Here once again is where you see that the Torah veers away from the ordinary way of thinking of things. I mean, if a person would want to write a history of their people. They would, how would they write it? They'd say that Yitzchak was the one and Yishmael was thrown away. I mean, we come from Yitzchak? No, on the contrary. The bracha to Yishmael is expressed clearly. The Yishmael is going to be Gadol, the Santa Shnei Masa Nesim, and these people are the destroyers of the other ones, I mean, of the ones that are the true heirs. Okay, Lo Yerush Chazeh, who's the true heir? The true heir is Yitzchak. What is going on here? What kind of sense does this make? Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I don't see too many mepharshim that discuss the problem. But I believe the answer is that, you see, the Sefer Torah, say the Sefer Bereishis, is really a Sefer of Limud of Ashgachas Hashem. And also, the whole Sefer Torah is Ashgacha. But over here, it's a Limud of Ashgacha with regard to the lives of, as it played a role in the lives of certain individuals of the past. Okay. You see, what it means is like this. We mentioned a concept last week. We said like this. We said that sometimes a person attains something and he deserves that thing. Sometimes a person attains something even though he doesn't deserve it. Like we mentioned Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi is an unusual Shevet, and they were Zochet to Kahuna. But does this mean that this indicates that Kahanim are superior? No, that was Kerach's argument. Okay? And we said that it doesn't even indicate that Shevet Levi deserved what they received. And I gave you a mashal. I said if somebody were to say that I have $1 million to give to a certain student in the yeshiva, so you'd have to sit down and think who's the best one to receive this matana. But it doesn't mean that because he has only one matana, and it doesn't mean because he has this matana that he deserves it. It means there's only one matana to be given, and the one who has the greatest chus is the one that is the recipient of the matana. That's not the same thing as saying that what the person has reflects the true worth. You understand what I mean? It's a different kind of a system. It's a different system of merit, which means that you have that which you have, you merit it. There's another system where there's only a certain fixed object that's supposed to be given, and the one that has the greatest chosen, they get it. So with regard to Shevet Levi, Shevet Levi had the schusim, so they received the kahuna. Okay, kahuna and the avodah and the levim, avodah zal levim. Yeah, what it means is like this. What the pasuk means is like this. You see, what God was teaching Avram Avinu how the Ashgacha works. That the Ashgacha works. See, you take a look. You take a look at the. It's a funny thing at the. What did the Malach tell Hagar? What did the Malach tell her when she was running away? So the Malach said to her, he said, go back, go back and suffer the emotional pain of being reduced to a slave, to a yeshivcha. Okay, but then he said to her, in other words, first he was saying to her that that's a mistake, that it's painful as it is to be under sorrow, it's still worth it, because the gain is by far outweighs the loss in terms of the emotional stress. Then it says, Vayomar lo malach ha-reshem hino chor v'yaladet bein v'karashmo yishmoel kisham ha-reshem alanyech, because God listened to your pain. Then the pasuk says, "V'hu yeh pera odam, yodo bakol v'yad kol bo, al pnei kolachav yishkan." What kind of consolation is that? I mean, pera odam means pera odam. You know, pera odam means pera odam means basically it means like a pera. Pera means a chamor abor. It means a wild donkey that lives in the desert. Okay, so he'll be a combination. He'll have the Shochem Midbarios will be a person that lives in the desert, and Yodo Bakol V'Yad Kol Bo, so he will be he's going to be active in suppressing other people, and they're going to get antagonized. They're going to fight him back. So what kind of a consolation is this? Well, what did it mean? See what it meant. What it means is like this, really, that. It means like this. You see, the same idea was taught to Hagar, and the same idea was taught to Avraham Avinu, but of course in different perspectives. The idea was like this: that you see, when it speaks about the fact that he's a para adam, really this is speaking about his innate characteristics and abilities. See, there are two kinds of courage. This real courage. Real courage is, Plato came to a standstill, what real courage is. But Yadus has the concept of courage in Yadus is a singular one. The concept of courage in Yadus is to be able to subordinate every emotion under the control of the Tzelem Elohim under the intellect. That's what it means. That's really what, that's the definition of courage. Courage is the subordination of every emotion under the subordination of every emotion to the Tzelem Elohim, okay? To the part of man that has Chachma. Okay, intellect is not a good translation. I don't know of any word in English. Not the proper word, but it's the Chachma is the source of a person's Chachma. It's the part of man that is guided by Chachma, by wisdom. That's really the definition of courage in Yadus. But there's another kind of courage. There is such a thing as raw courage. Avram was the most courageous person. That was what made Avram. And these Kivshan Eish, the story of Kivshan Eish, is just a story which tells you the extent of how courageous he was. And I believe several times before, that the world looks at Socrates as a courageous person, but Socrates was not as courageous as Avram, because Socrates did not go against the religion of the state. He was careful. Came to the religion, said, that's not my area. So he showed, and he was courageous, very courageous. When it came to the breakdown of the ethical system, he showed through logical argumentation that their ethics are nonsense, based on nothing. He was courageous. I mean, it resulted in his death. But he still did not go against the religion of the state. See, Avraham Avinu had the courage to go against the religion of the state. That's the most difficult thing to do. That's the most courageous act. Now, Avraham Avinu, of course, also had raw courage, because it has to start. That's like the Rambam. The Rambam talks about in his Akdamah to the Avos, the Shemona Prakat, that there are certain traits that are necessary in a basic way before you can achieve higher traits. Okay? In an emotional way. Raw courage is in a certain emotional kind of courageousness. And that is necessary. A person who is emotionally fearful and timid will not be able to make the breakthroughs of Avraham Avinu. Even if he has the same mind. You must have, and that's the concept of Avos, where the Rambam develops the idea of the Am Haaretz. The Am Haaretz means that there are certain basic traits. You've got to have those traits in order to be able to advance. You need a certain kind of personality traits also. So Avraham Avinu was an individual who had raw courage, but he converted the raw courage into a higher form of courage, which is to follow Chachma. That's a different kind of courage. That's different already. You see. Now what the Malach told Hagar was that Yishmael will inherit those traits of raw courage that Avraham Avinu had. That's Per Adam. He's not afraid to dwell alone in the wilderness. He wasn't afraid of anybody. And he was able to exercise his control over other human beings in spite of the fact that they were antagonistic and they tried to destroy him. And Al Panei Chol Echav Yishkan, he'll be successful. He'll be able to overcome the battles. He inherited the trait of the raw courage of Avraham Avinu. That's all the Malach told her. So she was happy because he didn't say, the Malach was not discussing how Yishmael would exercise his Bechira. The Malach just told her that he's going to inherit certain traits of Avraham Avinu. The bravery, the courage. Okay, not afraid. Fearless, a fearless individual. So that's it. That's all the Malach told her. What the Pasuk, you see, that's why she said like this, you see. What it meant was like this. What it meant was there are two different systems of Hashgacha. There's Hashgachas Hashem. There is God's divine providence, which is expressed in terms of a yachid, every yachid, as an individual. Because he lives a certain life, he merits a certain kind of reward. Okay? Merits a certain kind of reward. That's Hashgacha. That's the kind of Hashgacha. There's another kind of Hashgacha. There is a separate Hashgacha that has to do, which is not based upon, it's associated with, but is not solely determined, I should say, by the qualities of the Yochid. It means to say that our Kadosh Baruch Hu has, so to speak, certain matanos. I've used the term matanos. Certain matanos. Mebeis avicha, and va'avorecha, va'gav l'shemecha, va'yei brocha, va'avorecha, mevorechecha, mekalelcha, v'nivuchorecha, kol mishpachos adama, that was what kind of a brocha? That was not the brocha of the Yochid. That was a brocha of Avram, because there was supposed to be in existence a certain kind of lifestyle. And that was like a certain kesser, like I said, that was a certain entity, a certain institution that was supposed to be given over to mankind, and Avram was zocha in that institution. He was zocha in that institution. Because of his merit, he was zocha to gain that institution. That's not Ashgacha b'taras yachid. That's Ashgacha b'taras rabin, because of the world. B'taras tikkun olam. Certain institutions had to be established. Okay? But then there's Ashgacha b'taras yachid as well. Person lives a virtuous life. He merits a certain Ashgacha. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Bris avos. The bris is not because Avram merits it per se. He is the one that is zocha to the bris. But the bris is something which was in existence before bris olam. It means, that's okay, the imlo bris yom v'leiluchuk shumayim v'as losanti. It means to say this bris is an institution that God had in existence before. This was something that had to exist in creation. It had to exist. Who was the one that was zocha to take it? Avraham Avinu was zocha to take it. Okay? So, really what it means is like this. You see, that's exactly what Hagar said. Hagar said, she ran away. She saw, first what happened was she had the idea that she saw the idea that there is a certain matana that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to give out, has to give away. And she saw Avraham Avinu was the one that merited the matana. Then she thought that she was the one that's going to play the major role. Then what happened was when Sarah reduced her, so she saw that her idea was wrong. So she ran away. She said, I made a mistake. That's it. I thought I was the one. I'm not the one. She ran away into the midbar, and she said, I have no part in the Ashgach anymore. Okay? That was her conclusion. Then when the Malach came to her and told her, no, ki shomar Hashem el onyech, because God heard your pain. You see, the karasa shemo Yishmoel, what does the name Yishmoel mean? Ki shomar Hashem el onyech. It means that she saw a different kind of hashgacha. She saw that she made a mistake in terms of the role of the hashgacha, the matana that God had in mind to give out, that she wasn't going to play a role in. But because of her merit as a person, she will be zocha to certain things. And that was who was she zocha to? She was zocha to Yishmael. That's Kishama Hashem Alonyach. That was Ashgacha B'taras Yachid as an individual. Because Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Schar Kol Beria. God doesn't withhold the reward of any person who is worthy of a reward. God is Kol Derech of Mishpat. He gives every person in accordance with what they deserve. So at first she was in the base of Rome. That's what Rashi means. First she was in the base of Rome, and she saw the Malacham in the base of Rome. What does it mean, the Malacham in the base of Rome? In base of Rome, she saw that things are working in a very strange way, because there's a certain matana God has in mind. Avram is Ocha. So she said. So then when she saw she's not playing a role in this matana, so she ran away. So she didn't expect anymore to encounter Ashgacha. That's it. She made a mistake. Finished. She's in the desert. Then she saw, she said, when the Malach said, Har Ba'arba Zarech Lo Yisofer Maro, which means she has certain schosim, and she's going to merit the fact that she will be the mother of a multitude of people, a great nation, you see. So then she says, Hagam Halom Ro'isi Acharei Ro'i. It means, I never expected to see Hashgacha over here. I thought she only knew of one Hashgacha. The Hashgacha of the house, she was in the house of Avram, she saw the Birkas Avram, and she saw that God has a great matana to give out, and Avram is the one that's the recipient. But once she saw she wasn't a part of that, she didn't expect to encounter Hashgacha anymore. But then she says, no, Ata Kel Roi, you are the God that sees all and that sees what I am worth, and it gives me reward based upon my own merit. That's a different Hashgacha. She didn't expect that Hashgacha. So she said, Agam Alom Roisi Achare Roi. I saw in the house of Avram, I saw that kind of Hashgacha. But I didn't realize the Hashgacha in terms of the Yochid. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the Kapeach Sar called Beria Beria. You see? That's what she said. And basically, that was the same idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveyed to Avram. Avram had two sons. One was Yitzchak and one was Yishmael. What were these two sons? Yishmael was the natural son. That was the natural son. That was the son that resulted from the Ashgachas Yochid of Avram. God's Ashgachas Avram, the Tash Yochid, he was a tzaddik. So therefore, he was very happy. Apparently, he was happy with Yishmael. He said, Lu Yishmael Yechil Fanecha. He was very happy. So Yishmael had great potential. He had Avram's courage, and he had great potential. And Avram was teaching him. What he did with his Ashgacha later, that's happening. But the fact is that Avram was Zochet to Yishmael because of his own merit. But then there was something else. There was another son. The other son was Yitzchak. That was a different kind of Ashgacha. You see? That's why the Pasuk says that God says to Avram, he says, Vetna Vrisi Beni Vinechov, Anihine Brisi Itoch, Voyiso La'av Hamon Goyim. Hine Brisi Itoch means I have a bris, an institution of bris that predates you. And it's going to be Itoch. But you are the one that are going to take, be notel, that schus, that bris. So he says, so that's why it says like this. The Pasuk says, when Avram, so Avram the answer said, Lui Yishmol, Avram the answer, he was surprised, Lui Yishmol, Yichel Afanecha, Vayom Alekem, Avol Sore Ishtecho, Yeledes Lecho, Bein, Vekorosa, Shemo Yitzchak, Vakimosi Es Brisi, Ito Livris Olam Lazaro Acharav, Uli Yishmol Shmaticha, Yishmol is, he is your son because you married him. That's the natural son, Yishmael. But the other son, Yitzchak, is a different kind of son. That's a son because there's an institution of bris, and I want bris to exist. Bris is going to exist, God says, and therefore, you're the one that is going to be the instrument of bringing about this bris. It's a different kind of a thing. It's a matana. Yitzchak was Ashgacha b'toras matana. Yishmael was Ashgacha b'toras yochid, in terms of what Avram Avinu deserved, you see. So now the Malachim raised the question. That's the Malachim's question. The question of Malachim is that these two institutions are very nice. Yishmael is a natural son, and Yitzchak is the son of Bris. But the problem is that now what happens in the future, they conflict. And Yishmael, the Bnei Yishmael, tried to destroy the Bnei Yitzchak. So what kind of a system is this? How could that be? So what did God answer? That's what God said, that Ki Shomar Hashem Es Kol Hanar Basher Hashem. That's not the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that the schar that a person receives is goes naturally in accordance with the level that they're on at the time. So at the time, Yishmael was a tzaddik. So everything has to go along naturally. Avram was zochet to Yishmael. Yishmael was a tzaddik. And Yitzchak, that's why God says to Avram, he says, Lishmo shmaticho, and he brought the praises of the basis of the mod ma'od. Shneimos in the same yodim, and the sativ l'goy godl. So what does Avram care about that? The main thing is Yitzchak. No, that's the natural son. That's the one who is zocha b'toras yochid. Ah, you'll ask me later in history there's going to be an interference. There's going to be a contradiction. That is not the way the Hashgacha works. The Hashgacha does not work on what's going to happen later. Yishmael has Bechira, and Yishmael is endowed with certain characteristics, the very characteristics that were necessary to produce Avram, and he has Bechira Chavshas. You see Yishmael himself, the Tshuva. Vayikbar also Yitzchak v'Yishmael Banav. So Yishmael let Yitzchak go first, because he recognized he did Tshuva. So he had the capability, and he did Tshuva. I, as children in the future, will be Rishayim, will be the worst Rishayim, but that's not the way God works. The Hashgachas Hashem works by Asher Rishon. This is what they deserve at this point, and at this point it's a bracha. On the contrary, Refrasi Yosel, Rebasi Yosel, Mamod Ma'od, this is the bracha that you, Avram, deserve. It's your bracha b'Torah, it's Yochid. Now there's another bracha, Yitzchak. That's a different kind of a bracha. That's a matana. I have a certain matana that I want to give out, and this matana you will be zochah to in Yitzchak. Different kind of hashgacha. Two different kinds of hashgacha. There's a hashgacha based upon what a person merits in life, and then there's hashgacha that exists not because of what he merits, because of what God's plan is. And there are certain institutions that have to be fulfilled, and there are certain individuals that are capable of being involved, part of, in bringing about this institution. That's what Klal Yisrael is really. See, Klal Yisrael, that's why we're always mispalel in our tefillos. We're always mispalel, not b'toras yachid. We're not mispalel as a nation because we are worthy. We always invoke the Bris Avram. It means to say that we're mispalel, not that we are deserving of a wonderful existence, but we're mispalel that we should be zocha because of the other system, the system of the matana, the Bris Avram. That's the Bris Avram. That's the Schus Avos. That's what it means, Schus Avos. Schus Avos means the whole system that they were zocha to, because God had a preconceived institution that had to come into existence, and they, because of their merit, were zocha to be notel, to take that institution and to bring it into existence. That's a Aye, v'gamas ben almo l'goya simenu. Why? Ki zaracho. That's a bracha. He's the one that naturally b'taras yachid. This is who you deserve. This is what you deserve. He has bechira. He's endowed with certain characteristics. He's going to be a great nation. I'm giving him the ability to become a nation, to become a great nation. I'm going to help him. I'll help him succeed. But of course, he has bechira. I mean, whatever happens, that's based upon his bechira. That's not. I don't interfere with the bechira of Yishmael, or with the bechira of his offspring. And even though they're going to be Rishoyim, that's the way it is. That's the way the Hashgacha works. That's the limud. That's why Yishmael kishomar Hashem el onyech. What does it mean kishomar Hashem el onyech? It means the personal Hashgacha. Onyech. Hagar was suffering, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to her and gave her, took her out of her suffering, and gave her a big bracha that she was zocha to a son that had fantastic capabilities, and he had the bechira to use them in the right manner. What he did with them, something else. But as I said, you see, he himself did do tshuva. What happened later? That's dependent upon the hashgacha. The bechira of the people involved. That's not God's area. God doesn't interfere with it. What's going to happen later among the nations? That's not the way that God works. God works by Sheru Sham. And by Sheru Sham, it's a bracha. And that's why it's pronounced in the Torah as a bracha. Even though we know very well, from a historical standpoint, that it was not really a bracha, because they were the ones that, the worst enemy, so not the worst, but a serious enemy and the destroyer of Klal Yisrael, as we see in today, I mean, in today's world. He was. That's a good question. If he was a tzaddik, why was he thrown out? I'm going to take that up next time. But yeah, when it says that, before I answer the question, we said before it's a stira. It's not really a stira, because in the Malach said tahar harbo arba ezarech, below you suffer merov. That was what she deserved. It's precise. And in terms of having many offspring, that's what she deserved. But the Gamas Ben Ha'omo Legoyasimenu, that's a nation. Nationhood is a different thing. Having a people, a lot of people, that's one thing. But a nation is a higher organization. So the fact that they became a nation was because of Avram. The fact that she was deserving of being the progenitor of many offspring. But not nationhood. Nationhood was only because of because of Avram. Okay. Now the question is, of course, how does this benefit her? It doesn't benefit the person in a way that we are looking for, because I mean we look for benefits either in terms of physical pleasures or psychological pleasures, and there you're right. I mean it doesn't make any difference. The person's dead, and it doesn't make any difference the fact that they have many offspring. It doesn't mean in that manner. What it means is that it's a reflection on the life of the value of the life of that individual. That's what it means. In other words, it means like this: that the fact that she will be she'll be the forerunner shows that she has certain qualities. Certain qualities. You see, what is hashgacha really? What is hashgacha? Hashgacha is where certain details, mere details, are brought into line on the universals. They become universals. So it's not, you're right. I mean, a selfish person, like Chazal say, a selfish person can't think more than grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That's the most. They can't go beyond that. But if a person goes beyond, it means it's a reflection on, if they can go beyond, it shows they're a higher level individual. And they realize that their life was exemplary, was such that its continuation should be expressed in the virtues that they have are deserving of being continued beyond their own lifespan and beyond their own personal enjoyment, but they're worthy of existence. So it shows the level. It shows her level. It's an indication of her level. It's not a pleasure kind of thing. It's not a pleasure gift. You see, it's an indication of the fact that her life, she's living in a way that she reflects universal ideas that will be expressed in her offspring, that they'll have existence far beyond the normal realm. So it's a reflection on her existence. It's not really a enjoyment. It's a different kind of a thing. You understand what I mean? It's a reflection of the person, not the worth of the person. Okay, the person has certain things. Which certain traits which are deserving of being continued. There's a quality of this that we say that a person, even if he's a Russia, it does express a certain kind of greatness of character. An average person just doesn't do anything. You know, just can neither be a great Russia nor a great tzaddik. But even a Russia, even Rishoyim, there is certain greatness is expressed in their underlying character. It's unfortunately used in the wrong direction, but it does show a certain strength of character. Okay, yes? No. He saw that she was right. The answer was it was precise, because she said that Hagar is being haughty, and therefore she's saying that she's superior. So he gave her the right answer. He says, okay, so you control her and show her that she's a demonstration she's not superior. What's that? In effect, I mean, he conceded. He said, you're right, I made a mistake. You know this area better than me. You take care of it. Exactly. What's wrong? That's okay. That's a sensible thing. It's a rational thing. But that's because I mentioned many times that you see that Avram recognized the fact that in certain areas she was more perceptive. And he saw that she was right. She's more perceptive. So since she is more perceptive, and that's really, she has more abilities in that area, so he said, that's under your realm. So you're in charge. That makes sense, yes? Para Odom, the Pasuk of, I mean, there are Chazal, the Darshan out of the, that's actually forecasting the future. And definitely, I'm saying the Pshuta Shel Mikra. The plain shot in the Mikra is that the Malach was just telling her the raw traits that he has. Wasn't telling her what he's going to do with it. What he's going to do with it, that's up to him. A person wants to know a lot of things, but a person doesn't have a right to know a lot of things. It means to say, the Malach revealed to her his strength of character. Didn't say what he's going to do with it, whether it'll be for good or for bad. He didn't reveal it to her. So she might want to know. Everybody's curious, but he only revealed this aspect. That's it. Didn't tell her anything more. But he told her that she will be zocha to have a son that has these traits because of her merit. Now, on the contrary, now he told her to go back to the base of Rome. That's why she's supposed to go back, because of the fact that she knows the abilities that he has. Now was her job, really, to go back and to train him and to raise him so that he uses those abilities in the proper manner. Okay, so use them in the proper manner. That's why the Malach said to go back, basically. That was her job. But the Malach did not reveal to her what he's going to do in the future. That's a separate thing. But at that moment, it was a bracha. In other words, the bracha is measured. That's why it's a bracha d'Avram. The phrases are basis. What was the big bracha? It didn't turn out to be such a big bracha. But meantime, when God communicated to Avram the message, he presented like a big bracha. At that time, it was a bracha. That's Bashar Roshan. That was a bracha. Yes? My point is that even if you're going to say that there was a... what I'm trying to say is like this. To say that Sarah just did it in a vulgar, base manner because she was vindictive is definitely wrong. That the Ramban doesn't mean that either. Definitely wrong. This was, I'm saying she definitely did it with a cheshbon. Question is, was she totally being guided by her chachma in her actions, or the emotions were playing a role as well? That's the question, okay? But to think that she was simply vicious, that's basically kfirah. That's Sarah was a Neviah. Sarah Simon was a Neviah. That's absolutely false. Even Ramban didn't mean that. The question is, did she act completely under the guidance of her Chachma, or were there emotions involved that distorted the picture? But she didn't overtly, she couldn't be overtly cruel. I mean, that's impossible in the house of Avram that she would just be vicious to her. So I'm explaining what her rationale was, whether it was a rationalization, you see, or whether it was truly rational. That's a question. I don't think we can answer that question. The Sefted Ramban wants to say it was a chait. Okay, it is different chazal. That's not. We don't know. But the fact is that it definitely wasn't just a base vicious action on the part of Sarah. I mean, that's an impossibility to say such a thing. That you definitely can't say. No one maintains. Even the Ramban would never say such a thing. Yes. That's precisely what Hagar said. See, when Hagar got very excited because she's playing a role in the Bris Avram, then when she wasn't playing a role, so she said, that's it. No Hashgacha. Then the Malach said, no. You're making a mistake. You're not playing a role in that. But you have your own value. That's Agam Halom Ro'isi Acharei Ro'i. She thought that she only saw in the house of Avram that kind of Hashgacha. So she said, now I was Zocher to see a different kind of Hashgacha based upon what my own merit is. That was the... That's the gun. Yes, what I meant was she deserved it. She was a high level person. She deserved it. The fact that she was a shifcha doesn't mean anything. I mean, you can, like I said, institutions do not indicate individual worth in Yadis. What does it say? He said, "Uven meshek beisi hu damesek eliezer." So what does Chazal say? Damesek means dole mashke me toras rabo. That means that he was that Eliezer, he was an Eved, but he was one of the greatest people in the world. Okay, so the fact that his Eved doesn't mean anything. I don't think it only means something in a societal way. Society looks down on him because they can't identify with Eliezer. That's why when Eliezer wanted his daughter to marry Yitzchak, so Avram said this can't be. But that's a societal factor. It's not an indication of the person's individual worth. Hagar was on a very high level. That I think that's another thing. If you're allowed to, that I don't think you're allowed to do, because that's the maisa with Chana and with Penina. So Penina tormented Chana in order that she should be mispal, so that she should be zocha. Not allowed to do that. That's not your job. Not allowed to be mean to somebody in order to perfect them. You have no right to do that. That's rishis. You have no right to do that. That's God's cheshbon, not your cheshbon. But over here, the reason why she did it was not in order to show her that she was wrong, but she did it in order to demonstrate to others that this idea is false, that her idea is a false idea. It wasn't for her. It was for others, because it came out. That was the whole taina, that you can't allow such a philosophy to be expressed in the house of Avraham Avinu. So that's why I said, okay, so then you... So you determine how it should be expressed. You gave it over to her. She had the knowledge. Okay? And that's precisely what the Malachim were asking. I mean, this big bracha is not a bracha for us. You know, your phrases turned out to be the worst thing. But that's the way the Ashgacha works. It was a bracha at the time, and man has free will. And your question is, what could Yitzchak do to harness the Per Adam of Yishmael? I think there's only one answer. You see, I think that there's only one answer to that question, and the answer to that question is given in every line of the Torah. But what is the answer? The answer is to keep the Torah properly. That's the only answer. That's the answer. There's only one answer. If the Matan Torah, there's only one answer. It's only one way that you can remove all these problems. It's Mi Sinai. Why is it called Har Sinai? Shemishom Yorda Sina Lumas Olam. Because from there, tremendous hatred, anti-Semitism was begun at Sinai. And there's only one way to remove it, and that is by keeping the Torah precisely, exactly. If you keep it precisely, then that's it. Then it's harnessed. If you don't, then it's not. And that's why we can't be successful until that time. And with all the politics and all the political brilliance and everything, just falls at the wayside. Just never works. It doesn't work. Try this method, try that method. It doesn't work. It's impossible to work. I mean, that's Haftach on the Torah. It will never work, and the only thing that will work is a strict compliance with the principles and the mitzvahs of the Torah. That's the only way to do it. I mean, in my opinion, I'm just veering away from the topic. But the after of Ahoya Bayomahu Biyom Bo Gogal Admas Yisrael, I mean, this is an area of conjecture, you know. I mean, it's not the, Yemosa Mashiach, talking about Yemosa Mashiach. But in my opinion, what it means is like this. What it means is there is a natural unfolding process that will take place where the ideas of Yahadis will gain great prominence, because no one really knows what the ideas of Yahadis are. And when people find out, there's going to be a tremendous respect for Torah, tremendous respect for Yahadus as the only religion, and this will be a time when the Jews will have a very prominent role, play a prominent role in the world. But then there will be one nation that just is intrinsically vicious and wants to destroy it. Let's go. That's Gog and Magog. So that's why Abayomu Talach Hamasi Biapi. It means that their Hashgacha will have to intervene in order to stop them. You understand what I mean? So there's a natural process, but then there also is a specific Hashgacha. Yeah. I mean, I just want to add one word somebody mentioned, which is clear, that because, of course, the very incident, because Hagar was on that level, she was zocha to a revelation which perfected her. Because, you see, she was able to go back and didn't bother anymore. Because, so the gilui itself was one that perfected her and made her into a higher level person. Then she didn't care anymore. Didn't bother that Sarah treated her as a shepherd.
He's deserving of the good. Physically, that's what he deserves. The second way is that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has, so to speak, a matana, which he wishes to bestow, and then a person can be zocha to that matana. It's a different kind, a different type of schus. Okay, it means to say that a certain institution is of necessity going to be established, and the one who is most capable is zocha to that matana. It's a different kind of a concept, okay? So we said that there was that Avram had two sons. One was Yishmael, was his natural son. That's what he was zocher to Yishmael because of Avram as a yochid, Avram b'toras yochid. But then there was a special matnas bris, a bris that was supposed to be established, and he was notel that the bris because of his superiority, but the bris was fulfilled not through his natural son Yishmael, but through the special son Yitzchak. Okay, so that was Yitzchak was. That's really what the pasuk means, and the pasuk says, "Ul Yishmael Shmaticha." Hine berachti yosav v'freisi yosav v'beisi yosav mod mod. Okay, but there's brisi yakim es Yitzchak. Yishmael, yeah, he'll be very great because he's your natural son, and he has great qualities. But bris, he's not going to get. Bris is a special matana. You have to be a bar zocher, a different kind of bar zocher for that. Only Yitzchak is going to be zocher for that. That's the pasuk. Okay. There's an interesting. We were explaining the parsha, Perek Tazayin. Okay. Now, the end of the parsha is an interesting thing. The end of the parsha, we explained what was meant. Be'er lachai roi was. Okay. Agam halom roi siachere roi. So she was used to the ashgacha, to the special matonais that she saw Avram experienced because of ve'es cholagoy gadol. She saw strange things, and she was aware of the fact of the ashgacha b'toras matana she was aware of. But that she should be a zocha on her own, that she didn't know. That's a gam halom ra'isi. Here also, acharei roi b'veis Avram. She saw the matanas of Avram. Matter of fact, that's what she got excited about, was that she thought that she was the one that's going to be zocha to the matana of Yitzchak. So that's why she said, be'er lachai roi. Okay, that she saw an aspect of the ashgacha that was personal and was strictly based upon her merit and her ability. But then the end of the parsha says, "Vavram ben Shmona shonav v'sheish shonim b'ledes hogras Yishmael Avram." So the question is, what is the purpose of? Why did the pasuk have to say how old Avram was at the time of the birth of Yishmael from Hagar? So Rashi explains. Rashi says, "L'shvacho shel Yishmael nechtav." It's written because of the praise of Yishmael. Lo dia shohayah ben yudimul shona kishanim avlo ikif. That he was 13 years old at the time. And he didn't object. It was a painful operation. But he didn't object. So, of course, the question is, it's an open pasuk. It says, the pasuk says in the end of the parsha, V'Avram ben Tishim v'Seish Hashonah b'Molo b'Sar Losom, V'Yishmol b'No ben Shalosh Hashonah b'Molo as b'Sar Losom. So why do you have to have this cryptic method of deducing that Yishmael I have to know the other pasuk. Avram ben Tishim v'Seish Hashonah, I have to know in order to know they were 13. The next pasuk, V'Yishmol b'No ben Shalosh Hashonah. So what is Rashi saying? I mean, it's a difficult Rashi. According to what I explained last week, is very good. What the pasuk we said that was not referring to his ultimate bechira. It was referring to the innate traits. He was a courageous. He had raw courage. Shochei midbaros. He wasn't afraid to be alone in the desert. Emotions will prevent him from really rising above a certain level. But in order for the person to be able to achieve that's really the philosophy of Yadis, that there are certain basic emotions that are necessary. Certain personality traits play a role. If you're hindered in your personality, so the distortion of the personality, the psychological makeup, then the person will not be able to achieve greatness. So really we said that's the whole thing of Pirkei Avos, with the midos, the amoritz. Amoritz means he has good amoritz means that he has those basic traits. So the Malach was telling her that he's going to be Per Odom was not discussing what he's ultimately going to do with his Bechira. They're saying that he'd have the strength and courage and power. He'll be a powerful person, powerful personality. Yado Bakol v'yad Kobo v'alpnecho lachavishka. They'll be able to defeat his enemies. Who'll rise to greatness. They'll be antagonized by him. They'll fight him, but he'll put them down. So he'll have that ability. He's a courageous leader. So this is the answer to the question we raised on Rashi. V'Avram ben Shmonim Shonav Hashesh Shonim B'Letus Hagras Shmuel Avram. So why do I have to say just the next few lines later it says he was 13 years old? The answer means like this. It's precisely like we said, that what it wants to show you, what the pasuk wants to show you is that Yishmael, the Malach told Hagar that Yishmael will be a man of raw courage, and this courage can be translated into anything he wishes. Well, that's his Bechira. Didn't discuss the Bechira. So the pasuk tells you that he used it properly when it came to the mitzvah of Milah. Lo ike means to say that in that case he used his courage for the very courageous act for a young boy of 13 to undergo a serious operation and not to object at all because he was tough and courageous and it didn't bother him. There he used it for the good. That's precisely why it's in this parsha, to show you that he was 13 years old and he used his basic emotional personality strength in order to do a mitzvah. Okay. Yeah. I'd like to pick up the story again, because what happened was, so she returned. She returned to the base of Rum. So, v'is'ani, that's what the Malach told her. It says, v'is'ani tachas yadeva. So go back to Sarah and play your role as a shifra, and it shouldn't disturb you. Okay, obviously that was necessary in order to correct the error that was in philosophical principles that was expressed in the Beis Avraham, which Sarah saw that's wrong to say that because certain events happen to certain people that indicates whether they're tzaddikim or rishayim. So that she had to go back and correct the error. She lived there, and then what happened was then the story picks up again later. All right, so what happens? So later, we have, apparently Sarah was satisfied. Sarah was satisfied. She came back. But then, all of a sudden, it says, Vayigdal HaYelad Vayigamal Vayera Chamishi. Three psukim in. Vayigdal HaYelad Vayigamal Vayasav Roha Mishte Godol B'yomi Gomel Es Yitzchak. Right, then, it doesn't say how much later, when the time, but it's not so important. But it says, Vatera Sogor has been Hogor HaMitzris, Asher Yoldol Avram Mitzachek. Okay. So it says, Vatomalar, so she saw that Hogor's son, Yishmael, was playing. Alright, so it says, Vatamal Avram, Gorei Sha'omar Zosi Es Bino. Kilo Yirash Ben Omar Zosi Ben Yitzchak. Chase out this maidservant and her son, because this son of the maidservant will not inherit with my son Yitzchak. Okay. So, yeah. Alright. So, apparently she held. Yeah, so what did she see? Mitzachek. So Rashi says, what was Mitzachek? Rashi says, Mitzachek is not a good thing. Mitzachek is Lashna Vodazora, idolatry, Gili Arayis, sexual promiscuity, Lashna Retzicha, okay, murder, okay. It wasn't the best kind of a combination of elements. At any rate, so it says, but then it says, Vayera Dovamo Beni Avram Alodas Beno. Avram apparently was oblivious to this. Alright? He felt very bad. But then he received the benevuah, Yera Beinechal Naval Masecho, Kola Shetam Alarasar Shema Bekola, Ki Be Yitzchok Yikar Lachazara. So God told Avram, no, listen to Sarah. Whatever she says, listen to her. Okay. And then he says, "V'gamas ben omer l'goy asimenu kizarachahu." Okay, fine. So Avram listened, and then it says that she went out in the desert, and the water supply dwindled, so she didn't want to see her son die. So apparently he was exhausted, so she threw him under the, she put him under the by the, in the desert, under the shrubs. Okay. So then she said she didn't want to see him and die. Okay, fine. Then it says, Vayishma lekimel kol hanar. That's kol hanar. Vayirko malach lekimel hagam anashamayim vayimolo malach hagam. Altiri, kisham alakimis kol hanar basherishon. It says, don't worry, because God heard the voice of the lad, basherishon, where he is, the place where he is there. So Chazal say, and I mentioned this Chazal last week, about the Arabs basically would destroy the Jews. They were cruel and vicious to the Jews in Golis. And Malach Yashari said, that's what Malach Yashari's question was, that these two sons, the natural son, his chosim, are interfering with the son who was zochah to the bris. So what does it say? It says, so they said, no. Lefi mais, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, no. He said that, So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? V'hu meishivam, achshav maho. What is he now? Tzadik or Rasha? Amar lo, tzadik. He's a tzadik now. Amar lahem, lefi masov shel achshav ani dano. I judge him according to the way he is now. That's the way the Ashgacha works. What's going to happen later, that's a different Ashgacha, a different Cheshbon. Okay? But God never refrains from giving the reward that a person deserves based upon the way they are at the moment. That's the way the system of Ashgacha works. Happens later, it's different Ashgacha, it's different Cheshbon. Okay. So, of course, the question is, and Rafarshim asked the question, you read the book, the question of, it's a Tata de Sasri. Tata de Sasri. Before it says, Mitzachek, that he was involved in the Avodah Zarah, Shrichas Dom Gila Reis. Okay? And now it says, that what? And now he says, he's a Tzadik, he's a Manashach. What is he? Okay. There's a problem. There are several problems, really, in this Pasha. First of all, if he was a Rasha, so the question is, so obviously Avram didn't have the insight. Okay? Sarah had the insight. So the same thing like happened with Yitzchak and Rivka. Kitzayah the fifth. Where do we find that? Yitzchak, we find, was a type of person, the way the Torah portrays him. He was an individual. He wasn't involved in these type of things. He was an old Tmima. He was not involved in the practical. Okay, that's why he received the tzivui that he's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, because in old Tmima he can't be involved in the practical. So we understand. Kitzayah b'fiv. The Torah says he was fooled. The Torah says over here that Avram Avinu was fooled. Avram Avinu was a man of the practical. He was, his whole life was a life of the practical. He lived with kings and with treaties and with political involvement, wars, battles. I mean, he was a man of the practical. So where do you see that that Yishmael fooled him? Yeah, that's a strange thing to say. So that's the case. So why did he feel so bad? It says, Vayera dover ma'od, be'nei malo dos b'no. You mean he didn't know his son? He was making a mistake. Torah doesn't depict this scene like it does the scene with Yitzchak and Rivka with regard to Esav. Doesn't describe it that way. In a strange way, like, he seemed to be justified that he felt bad, but no, sar shma bekola. Okay, there's something different over here. Take a look. I mean, you have to be sensitive to the whole thing, be sensitive to the Lashon HaMikra. The Lashon HaMikra does not seem to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, you're making a mistake about your son, and his sorry knows better, that she understands him better than you do. That's not the case. It just says, Kol Asher Tomar Lecha Sara Shema Bekola. Funny guy thing. What does that mean? Doesn't say it was wrong. He didn't even tell him, don't feel bad. As a matter of fact, he consoled him. That sounds like, you're right. He is Yezera. He's a good person. You know what I'm saying? That's why to say pshat, that there's someone to say pshat, he did tshuva, this doesn't work out in the psukim. It doesn't work out in the psukim. So why, so if you're going to say someone to answer the question, want to say he did tshuva, and then later, that's why I said Basher Hashem. It doesn't say that. Because it says Vayera Dovim Ol Beni Avram Alod Espinot at the time, so he knew him all along. There's no doubt. I mean, you see that he was very brave, and he was willing and brave with regard to Mitzvah Milo. So you see, he was a good son. And there's no doubt Avram learned with him and taught him and was close with him. He didn't fool him. I mean, he can't fool a father unless the father is a type that he's in a totally different world, like Yitzchak. There's a different type of personality. But a person that's astute, that has knowledge, insight, and psychological knowledge, you can't fool him. He loved with him. He was close with him. He was happy with him. Says he was upset, so upset. Allah does beno. And doesn't say it was wrong. On the contrary, like I said, v'gamas beno amar glasim eno, that a kodesh baruch who consoles him. Okay? Yeah, and you can't twist these psukim that way. But there's an interesting Rashi. Rashi says, Shema Bekola, Rashi says, Lamadnu Shehoyo Avram Tofel Lesar Benevius. Okay? He says, Shema Bekola, and Rashi's explaining the semantics of the Pasuk. Shema Bekola. What does Shema Bekola mean? That's exactly precisely what Rashi's saying. Shema Bekola doesn't mean you're making a mistake. Not the way to say you made a mistake. You made a mistake, say that she's right. The Torah doesn't say that Torah was right. God didn't say she's right. It says Shema Bekola. Different kind of an answer. And you have to listen carefully. What does it mean? What does it sound like, Shema Bekola? So that's what Rashi says. Shema Bekola means this is Nevius. What she's saying now, Torah, is Nevius. And you are not tuned into this Nevius. Listen to her. She's speaking Baruch HaKadosh. That's what Rashi says. Shema Bekola. Shema Bekola means Baruch HaKadosh Allah. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the semantics Rashi's explaining is not just the drush of Baruch HaKadosh. Rashi's explaining the semantics of the pasuk. Shema Bekola is not the same thing as Toiso. It's not the same thing as she's right. It's a different meaning. It's like, listen to her. Well, what does it mean? Listen to her. She's right. She's wrong. Who's right? Doesn't say. God didn't say. He says, sure, listen to her. So Rashi, what kind of a language is that? What kind of a statement is that? It means this is Nevius. She's a Nevius. And she's a better Nevius, the greater Nevius than you are. She sees the Nevius that you don't see. Okay, that's exactly what Rashi explains. Okay. Also, you see, just to continue with the same point, I mean, you have to, every word in the pasuk is measured. Kola shatoma elecha sara shema bekola. What's the next phrase? Ki v'yitzchak, in the same pasuk, ki v'yitzchak yikare elecha zara. Because in Yitzchak, everybody will call Yitzchak your zera. Yikare elecha zara. He will be called your zera. So what does that have to do with it? Again, you see clearly the pasuk is deviating. It's not saying he made a mistake. It's giving what kind of an answer is that? Fine, ki v'yitzchak yikare elecha zara. So what? So, but Avram was concerned about his son. Allah does beno. How does that help him? What kind of an answer is this? Okay. Also, if you take a look, another discrepancy is in the very statement, in the very statement of Asara. Latomal Avram gore shesa omar zos vias gore shomar zos vias beno. So why? Because mitzachet, right? Okay, fine. But she doesn't say because of mitzachet. She says, Kilo Yirash ben Ha'omah Hazos in Bini Yim Yitzchak. Who's talking about Yerusha? What does that have to do with Yerusha? No, Shechus to Yerusha. I'm talking about Yerusha now. He's a Russia. He's a bad influence. So throw him out. What is Gila Reish V'chazdan? What is it? Anything more than that? So throw him. It should say not Kilo Yirash ben Ha'omah Hazos. It should say Kilo Yeshev Ha'Rusha Hazeh in Bini Yim Yitzchak. That's what the pasuk should have said. Who's talking about Yerusha? Yerusha is a long way off. Okay? So what is the very phrase doesn't make any sense. Her very complaint, the way she formulated, doesn't make any sense. Okay? Where do we find this idea of Yerusha? Where do you find the idea of Yerusha? The phrase of Yerusha? That you find by Bris Ben Absarim. Okay, the Bris Ben Absarim. Again, you see the Lashon HaPasuk. That's right. It says, the Pasuk says, when God came to Avram by the Bris Achad Var Ma'ila in Efter Chamishin Lech Lecha. Achad Var Ma'ila Hoyed Var Hashem El Avram B'machaz Alemar. It's, okay, that's 15. Al tira Avram anochi magin loch schorcho harbe maod. Vayam Avram ad Hashem alkim matiten li. Vanochi olach hariri. Uven meshek beisi yudha mesek aliezer. Okay? So he says, Vayam Avram hein li lo nasot azor. Vine ven beisi yoresh osi. Vine dva Hashem alav lema lo yirash chazer. Kim ashe yitzen mecho hu yirash echo. So here is where you have the Yerusha. What is it talking about? The Bris Ben Absarim? Talking about Yerusha. So you see now, I mean, that's what Sarah was referring to. You see, what is the Yerusha? Yerusha and Yadus has a singular meaning. Yerusha and Yadus does not mean the transference of money. So Yerusha and Yadus, and this has been something, we'll go into later if we have time, it's not left to continue. But the whole idea of Yerusha, the concept of Yerusha by a Jew, is a completely different idea. Completely different idea than a monetary transference. Transference of funds or of property. It's not what it is. And that the Yerusha really in Yadus is, it's true. It's tied to the monetary. There's a monetary involved, but Yerusha is really the Yoresh is the one. When Avraham says v'neven beis Yoresh, so he wasn't concerned about his properties. He wasn't concerned about his funds, his money. He meant Yerusha in terms of ideas. That was really what his taina was. He said, I don't understand. Schorcha Abe Mod is very nice, but the fact is that everything I worked for, the whole system is going to die because the Mesek Eliezer is greater, as great a Chacham as he is, he's not going to be able to carry on because the philosophy is going to be destroyed by the enemies the moment I die. And he knew the only way was if he has a son, if his son carries on the whole Yerusha of the ideas. The Birkas Avram, the whole Yerusha of Avram Avinu. He knew that. That's why he says, Ben Beisi Yerusha. So what did Kadosh Baruch Hu say? Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, well, Yerush Chazer. Kima Sheyitzim Emeecha Hu Yerushecha. Okay? So that was the answer. The answer was that he was right. He was right in his estimation. When he was estimating how the system would be carried on, he was right. God agreed, and he said, you'll see that the Yerusha will take place through your son. Okay. Now you see so Yerusha over here means, Yerusha means the transference of ideas, the transference of the whole Masorah, the whole system, not the transference of properties. So now you understand, you see what Sarah said was like this. You see, and you notice what Sarah says, Kilo Yirash Ben Ha'omah Hazos, Ben Ha'omah Hazos. She tied it to the Amma, she tied it to Hagar. We have a strange thing. I mean, the Torah is always very difficult. Because it sounds like she is a derogatory statement. I mean, she apparently, Hugo, was not up to par. Ben almost. In fact, she's saying the reason why your smile is so bad is not because he's your son, because he's the Omar son. So she's blaming the Omar. But now we have in yesterday's parsha, what does it say? Yesterday's parsha, Shishi, in Chayesar Shishi, that's 25, Bereshis 25. Vayosef Avrohom Vayikach Isho Shmo Keturah. Okay? So Avrohom got married again after the burial of Sarah, and after he set up Yitzchak. So then it says Vayosef Avrohom Vayikach Isho Shmo Keturah. Okay, by the way, this, of course, the Rav points out that after Sarah was out of the picture, that was the end of his role insofar as the bris is concerned. Okay? Which is similar to what we're saying, that was the end of his role insofar as being notel, the matana of bris. Okay? And then Vayosan Isha Shmakter's his private life. That's why it's a different parsha. Now he goes on with his private life. Okay, was Avram Bataris Yochid also. Now, but interesting, it says, who did he marry? He married a woman, and her name was Keturah. Who was Keturah? So Rashi says, Chazal say, that was really Hagar. The Hagar that Shenoa Maiseo Keturahs. And her actions are as fragrant as the Keturahs. So it means that she was a person that of beautiful actions. As a matter of fact, Rashi says that since the day that she left Avram, she never lived with anybody else. Okay? So here we have a depiction of a tzaddikus. You see? So what is this? It sounds like a contradiction. What I want to say is like this. That with regard to Hagar, Hagar was definitely a tzaddikus. No question about it. No maaseh keturahs. There's only one thing. That her tzitzis came from an extensive kvishas hayetzer. She was kovesh yitzra. She was kovesh yitzra. She controlled herself. She had great strength, great inner strength, and she was. And when she recognized that something is right, she controlled. She was completely under the domination of her own ego strength. And she and her maisim were like, that is no maseha kiktaras. Her maisim were like kiktaras. But it came from a tremendous kvisha sayeta. Okay? This is it. There is one, in kvisha sayeta, there is one pitfall. And the pitfall is that since kvisha sayeta stems from ego strength, you see, the ego is always vulnerable because that's the controlling element, you see. And that's why she fell precisely in that area. Because the moment she saw that she became pregnant and Sarah failed, then she got caught up. She got caught up. That she's the one, you see. The person who is a Kovesh Yitzro is a great thing, but Kovesh Yitzro has only one problem with Kovesh Yitzro. The problem is that it's based on ego strength. And that's why the person will be vulnerable in that area. It's almost impossible to avoid. So she really, that's where she failed. That's what it means. Norma Serkatos. Because she worked on herself. Anything that she saw, with regard to her own personal life, she was constantly surveilling, looking over her life and controlling herself and living properly. But it came from an immense strength of the ego. But then when the ego was being flattered, the events were flattering her ego, she failed. She did tshuva, no doubt. The Malach came to her and she realized she made a mistake, went back, this ani tachas yadeha, and she was happy with her life, so she was able to overcome. But she needed a malach in order to advise her and show her where she failed. She couldn't see it herself because it was an event and a chait that was catering to the ego, and that's why she fell through. You see, when it says Vatera Soros Ben Hogar Mitzris, and in the Pasuk emphasizes this fact, as Ben Hogar HaMitzris Asher Yoldo Li Avraham Mitzachek, Vatomer Lavam Goresh Ho'omo HaZos V'yez Benoa, Kilo Yerish Ben Hogar.